Hallelujah. Good to see all of you. I met a lady just already that she said she's been partnering with our ministry for 10 years. And I think this is the first time she's seen me live. And she said the same. She said, you've been a great blessing. You've blessed a lot of people. I'm always glad to hear that. She said, but I did think you'd be taller. That happens all the time. You know, people recognize my voice. They'll come to the conference in Tulsa for the first time and they'll hear me talking in between services. Go, you're him. I've been listening to you. I thought you'd be taller. I said, it's God that makes me tall. It's His Word that makes me tall. Talking about the parking situation, we all went to Branson a few years ago. And we were in the downtown part, and downtown in Branson, Missouri, 30-minute parking, or there's a ticket. And they're real diligent, too. So we're in this little store. I noticed the time, you know, and it was my vehicle, so I was noticing the time, and I said, okay, I guess I got, you know, to the store owner was listening. I guess I got to go move my car, you know, they're going to give me a ticket. I said, where's the nearest parking lot? He said, it's about 2 blocks down that way. He says, but I'll tell you. He said, they'll charge you $7 to park. The ticket's only $5. So we just stayed right there. It's a better deal. I just wrote him a check. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go ahead and open up to Luke 8. And it was so good to be here with some of our closest friends on earth. And I feel the presence of God. We're going to have great things happen this week. Great things are coming. I'll tell you, we serve a wonderful and mighty and loving, generous God. He's not at all like religion makes Him out to be. Before I start reading here in Luke 8, most of you know that Sue and I got... We were born again in 1980. That's 32 years ago. And the young man that led us to the Lord, he's my spiritual father, but he's about 10 years younger than me. And his name was Michael Muccio. By the way, he's living in Tulsa again now. He lived in another state for many years, and he's attending the prayer center, and we're having a great time. But anyway, Michael, when there was a group of about 25 of us that got saved. We were all working together in real estate at the time. It was a big office. We had about 400 employees there. But Michael, long story short, because Jim's a man of great faith to allow me to give the exhortation. Trust me, Jim, it'll only be an hour. We'll be okay. So. But anyway, about 25 of us got saved. And Michael, even to then and now, is very pure. And when we came to the Lord and that supernatural conversion took place, where that old stony heart was taken out and the very life of Christ was imparted to us, we didn't know very much. But I'll tell you, when that nature came into us, no one had to teach us to give. I mean, it was just the nature of God. God, His nature is to give. If He finds a need, He wants to meet it. I mean, that's just who He is. And we found that happening in this little group of us that got saved, and we didn't know much. We hadn't been trained in religion or anything, you know. But boy, if we saw a need in any of the group, you know, and none of us were out broadcasting our needs, but if we found out somebody had a need, I mean, immediately we just would meet it. And that, you know, that's His nature. But Michael, after a few years, he got married and moved to another state and pastored a church there for 25 years. And I tease him. I say, so you left us to the tender mercies of the TV preachers. Little by little by little, the focus, because of what we were taught things like, you need to name your seed. You need to sow a seed to meet your need. And you need to sow your best seed to meet your need. And we didn't know any better. We were just, you know, and they always have scriptures and little snippets taken out here and there to string together and to make their theology. You know what happened? Now, mostly me, not Sue so much, but me. As I listened to them, I didn't realize it then. I see it so clearly now. In the beginning, when we gave, our focus was on God and our focus was on the need of the other person. But we were brainwashed, if you'll allow me, and little by little, my giving was more about my reward, more about my need, than it was what God wanted me to do or the needs of the other person. I remember actually calculating. I hate to admit this. You're not going to make this tape public, are you? I remember calculating one time. We had a certain amount of money that we needed, and based on the 100-fold return, I was calculating how much seed we needed to sow. Now, what was my giving about there? Oh, they'd managed to get it all focused back on me, you know. Well, we got ruined one day. We walked through the doors of this church. This Pastor Dave Roberson was there. Y'all aren't laughing. You don't know Pastor Dave? Don't you know who he is? We love Pastor Dave. What I mean is, by to say ruined, is he started telling us that if we would learn to pray in other tongues, we would activate the teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost. Now, we'd had the Holy Ghost for years. You know, I could shandai along with the best of them. But we'd only do it, you know, when, like in the worship a while ago, and your emotions and everybody, you know. But we didn't know there was any benefit to just really spending time doing it. We didn't know that when you're doing that it activates the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Well, again, I'm trying to condense here. Well, at the time, God had me in the perfect job if you want to be taught by the Holy Ghost. I happened to be a long-haul trucker driving. I was stuck in the cab of that truck 40, 50, 60 hours a week anyway. So I just made the cab of that truck my prayer closet, and I began to pray. Just praying in other tongues, praying. And just exactly like Dave said, slowly, little by little. Just like it's like in the Old Testament, I think it's Isaiah. Here a little, there a little. Just little by little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. He began tearing down the false and reestablishing the truth in my life. One of the passages, now that brings us to Luke 8. One of the passages he brought me to was to purify my motives when it comes to giving. In all of the New Testament, we don't get very many peeks behind the curtain, if you'll allow me, into the day-to-day operations of Jesus' ministry. But he traveled, just like Jim and Kathy and I traveled here to do this. They traveled from village to village. He had an entourage that went with him. They had expenses, no doubt, and they had to pay their bills like we have to pay our bills. This is one of the few places where you get to see how that was financed. So we're looking here in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Now notice the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, plain English, some of these diseases were no doubt caused by apparently evil spirits, demonic things. Some of them may not have been, but they were infirmities, sicknesses of all kinds. And there was also Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Wonder what her life was like before Jesus came. Some say she was a prostitute. I don't know. Some say, but seven devils. Probably today she would have been in an insane asylum. Her life had to be full of torment until Jesus came to town. Jesus set her free. And what they're doing here, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and notice many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. They were taking of their finances and they were giving it into the ministry of Jesus. And I got to thinking, it's all of these women, the ones that were healed, Mary Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. What was her purpose in giving? What was the reason? Was it to get a new pair of shoes? Was it to, she needed a nicer camel? Sow a seed? No. No, she knows what her life was before Christ. I remember what my life was like before Christ. I know what it is to be lost. I know what it is to be saved. They were giving because Jesus had saved them, healed them, delivered them from the devils, and they wanted to get him to the next town. Let's get him to the next village. People are going to get saved and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost. Say, well, what about your reward? Oh, if we had time, we may talk about it later. We'll get over into Philippians where Paul, he says, no other church but you in the beginning. No other church communicated with me regarding giving and receiving but you only. He says, but I desire fruit that abounds to your account. Listen, is there a reward to giving? Whoever it was that put that $20 worth of gasoline in Michael Muccio's car that brought him for the first time to my house. me and at least 25 others that I know of that got saved out of there. When we get to heaven, I know they have records. We're going to look them up. We're going to find out who that was. There are going to be so many kisses on their cheek. I mean, you talk about a reward in heaven for all eternity. Why has the Father not come? What is this all about? It says He's only waiting for one thing. And that's the precious fruit of the earth. That's the fruit that abounds to your account when you give tonight. Somebody from this giving, somebody from this is going to get saved. Somebody's going to get healed. Someone's going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Good things are going to happen for the kingdom of God. When you get to heaven someday, there's going to be somebody waiting and saying, I was waiting to see who gave into that offering. Come here. I got saved out of that one. Hallelujah. Going to put a big kiss right on your cheek. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Well, Father, you've heard what? We didn't bribe anybody. We didn't threaten anybody. Father, we presented the truth of your Spirit and your Word best we know how. Father, you know that every penny that goes into this offering tonight, Father, it's coming from hearts that are thankful. Hearts that are hungry to see more people saved. Hearts that are hungry to see your gospel spread to every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. And Father, I do thank you for the outpouring of your blessing upon all of these people. In Jesus' name, amen.